Matthew chapter 4 is where we want to be this morning. And I want to read from verse 18 through the end of the chapter and preach a message entitled Following Jesus. If you would stand with me, and I'll begin reading again at verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, and a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to bless as your word is preached this morning. Lord, we read here how you called men out to follow you. And Lord, I believe that you're still doing that today, and that you're calling out to your people to follow you in a more close and in a more intimate way. And Lord, if it's that we have never contemplated why it is that we follow you, I pray that we would take the time this morning to figure out in our own minds and hearts our motivations for following and serving you. And might we ensure that they're pure, and as a result, may we have the strength and the grace to follow you until you call us home to heaven. Bless in the message, Lord. Use it, I pray, for your glory, and use it to help your people, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We've been studying the Gospel of Matthew, that gospel that presents Jesus Christ as King. And so for that reason, perhaps chapter 1 begins with the genealogy giving to us Jesus' legal claim to the throne of David. And we looked at that genealogy and made some practical applications to it. We've looked at Joseph, Mary's husband, and the type of character and compassion that he had, and it ought to be an encouragement to us to exhibit those same virtues in our lives. We've looked at how many others responded to the person and work of Jesus Christ, not always in a positive manner, though the wise men sought out Jesus, even though the only revelation that God gave to them was a star. And we likewise should seek to find Jesus, and by that I mean know him in a much more intimate way. And then we looked at John the Baptist. The Bible describes him as the greatest man born of women, and therefore we should find out what made him so great and try to mirror his motives, methods, and message so that we can also have the Lord's approval. And then last week we looked at Jesus' temptation and how it demonstrates who he is, that is his impeccability. He's God and he cannot sin, but we also said that that text illustrates to us how we can overcome the temptations that we face. And I came up with a possible outline of what we've seen thus far in Jesus' life. Maybe it could make these first few chapters more easily memorable. Jesus is born. We have that given to us in what we've looked at so far. Jesus is baptized. Jesus is badgered, that is, by Satan. Jesus here in this chapter, in the portion we're looking at this morning, is beckoning his disciples. He's calling his disciples. And then next week, Jesus is beginning his earthly ministry. And I don't know if I'll be able to keep up this outline all the way through the book of Matthew. That'd be nice if I could. But this kind of summarizes what we've looked at thus far surrounding the person of Jesus Christ. He's born, baptized, he's badgered, tempted, that is, by Satan. Now he is beginning to call disciples unto himself, men to follow him, and then he will begin his earthly ministry. But we want to focus this morning on the subject of following Jesus. In each of the gospel accounts, you'll find an incident either similar or identical to the incident that I just read, which is where Jesus calls Simon and his brother Andrew, and Jesus calls James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee, to follow him. And in looking at all of the accounts in each of the Gospels, one might initially want to conclude that these are all referring to the same incident. But what I want to do this morning is to show you how really the four different accounts, I believe, speak of three different incidents. You could read this and think that the first time Jesus came upon Simon and Andrew and beckoned them to follow him, that they, at that point in time, forsook everything and followed him till their dying day. But I don't believe that that was the case. I believe that Jesus actually had encounters with these men three different times before they forsook all and followed him for good. And what I want to point out to you is what might be emphasized in each of these three accounts, and then try to make some kind of application to this at the end of the message to our lives. And so let's begin by looking at John chapter 1, which gives to us a similar incident, but yet not an identical incident to what we find in Matthew chapter number 4. John chapter 1, beginning there at verse 35, it says, again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Now this, it says in verse 35, and again the next day. This is the day following the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment, because that gives us the precise time of this incident. But what I want to look at first is just the nature of Jesus' encounter with the two disciples. And in each of these accounts, in each of these incidents, we'll look at the nature, or that is the circumstances under which Jesus interacts with the disciples. We'll look at the timing of it and see when we can see if we can determine precisely when it takes place. And then we'll look at the longevity or the length of time in which the disciples followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, first, just looking at the circumstances, it says that Jesus looking as he walked, or John looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. These are the two disciples that stood with John in verse number 35. In verse 40 identifies the men as Andrew and Simon Peter. And you also notice there in verse number 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And as you look at Matthew's account of this, and as we'll look at Luke's account of this as well, you'll find that the circumstances are much different. When Andrew discovers that this Jesus is the Messiah, he goes and gets his brother Simon and brings him to Jesus. So here, there's two disciples standing with John. John declares who Jesus Christ is. And upon hearing this, these two disciples of John begin to follow Jesus. But when Jesus notices that they're following him, he turns to them and asks them a question. In verse number 38, the question is, "What seek ye?" What are you seeking? What are you looking for? Or perhaps another way to say this is, why are you following me? Not that Jesus didn't wish for men to follow him, but I think he asked this question for their benefit. Matter of fact, there's another message that I preach from John chapter 1. Now, I'm tempted to even preach it as we go through the book of Matthew, though the points are more directly connected to the Gospel of John. And in that message, I preach on the thought, what is involved or what is entailed in following Jesus. And you'll find here one of the things that is involved is questioning your motives. And I believe that that's what Jesus was trying to get these disciples to do, to question their motives, to ponder the reason why they were following him. Because Jesus is not only important, Jesus is not only He's not only interested in people following him, but he's interested in why people follow him. Because I think he understands that if you're not following him for the right reasons, your journey is probably going to be cut short. If you're following Jesus for what you can get, there's going to come a time where you're not getting everything that you want or think that you need, and as a result, you'll be tempted to quit. And most likely you will quit. If you're following Jesus to find favor with men, you're in for a surprise. Because there's going to be some people that say some cruel things about you because of you're following Jesus. And if you're only following Jesus to earn the favor of men, you're more than likely going to quit at some point. Jesus told men elsewhere, you better count the cost. One man said, I'll follow you, Lord. He said, you will? Well, you better sit down and count the cost. You better sit down and figure out why it is that you're following me, because you know what? You're going to have to bear reproach if you follow me. So Jesus here, I think he's just simply trying to get these disciples to question their motives. And so he asked them, what seek ye? And their answer was, where dwellest thou? We want to figure out where you live, where you stay, where you sleep. John declared you to be the Son of God, and therefore we're interested. We want to see how you live your life. So again, in a nutshell, they were following Jesus because they were curious. They were curious, specifically about where he dwelt, where he went, where he lived, what types of activities he was involved in. Verse 39 then says, he saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Again, when you look at the circumstances under which these men followed Jesus, they followed him because they were curious. When you look at the details and try to determine the timing of this interaction between Jesus and his disciples, we find that it was immediately after, the day after, his baptism. And when you look at Matthew's account, we didn't read verse number 12, today of the chapter, but in verse number 12 it says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. That's Matthew's account. And so the interaction between Jesus and the disciples in Matthew chapter 4 takes place after John the Baptist's imprisonment. And therefore, the account found here in John chapter 1 cannot be the same account that's found in the book of Matthew. They take place at different times. Even here in John's account, if we continue to read on within the context of the book, we discover that this took place, the interaction between Jesus and the disciples, before Jesus had really begun his earthly ministry, before he had performed any miracles. Because John chapter 2 records for us the marriage feast of Cana, where Jesus performs his first miracle of turning water into wine. When you look at the book of Matthew in the context of that account, Jesus had already begun his earthly ministry. Because in verse number 17 of Matthew chapter 4, it says that from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." His earthly ministry had already begun. And so again, we can conclude, I believe accurately, that this account in the Gospel of John is not the same account that's found in Matthew chapter 4. What about the length of time that these men followed Jesus in John chapter 1? Well, if you look at verse number 39 again, it says that they came and saw where he dwelt, and they abode with him that day. And I conclude that they abode with him that day alone. They did not, at this point in time, permanently follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This was simply their first interaction with the Messiah. And then we have the account here in the book of Matthew. Jesus approaches these same two men, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And it says in verse number 18, he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw the two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So again, in this particular account, Jesus is the one that takes the initiative. In the Gospel of John, they hear who Jesus is, and they take the initiative and follow after him. And as Jesus sees them following, that's when he asks the question. But here, the circumstances are much different. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees these two men, and he says to them in verse 19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway, that's immediately, they left their nets, and they followed him. And then in verse number 21, Jesus also calls James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and it says in verse 22, "And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Again, we can understand that it's a different account than that which is found in the Gospel of John. It becomes a little more difficult to try to determine whether or not this account is different than Luke's account, which is found in chapter number 5, and we'll look at it in just a moment. But do notice the timing of this particular incident. It's after Jesus' baptism, which is found in Matthew chapter 3. It's after Jesus' temptation, found also in Matthew chapter number 4. It's after John's imprisonment, which is recorded for us in verse 12 of the chapter. And again, that's one of the main reasons we conclude that it's different than the incident in the Gospel of John. It is after Jesus uses Capernaum as his home base. He again moves from time to time. And it says in verse number 12, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali." And again, it says that this was in fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures. Jesus' home base now is near the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum. This becomes his home base, and this also helps us to understand the timing of this particular incident. But what about the length of time in which the disciples followed Jesus? I don't know that there's anything in the immediate context that indicates the length of time. It could have been permanent if we were to look at this gospel account alone, but nothing mandates that we conclude this. And instead, as we look at Luke's account of Jesus' interaction with Simon, Peter, and Andrew, it appears that they did not follow the Lord permanently, but yet that it was short-lived, as the Gospel of John's account was. Look with me then at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. It says, "And it came to pass, that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," which is the same as the Sea of Galilee. That in itself might lead some people to believe that this is a different incident, but the lake Gennesaret was simply another term for the Sea of Galilee. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, for their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Again, there appears to be a number of differences between Luke's incident and Matthew's. In the Gospel of Matthew, the men are casting their nets into the sea. In Luke, they're washing their nets, cleaning them. In Matthew, they follow Jesus immediately, but in Luke's account here, Jesus gets into one of the boats and preaches to the people that are along the seashore. The timing of the two incidents does appear to be somewhat in close proximity. We read there in Matthew 4:12 how Jesus goes to Galilee, that Capernaum becomes his home base. Well, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 43 and verse 44, it seems to indicate the same thing, that Jesus now takes up his home base in Galilee. It says in the last verse of chapter 4 that he preached in the synagogues there, verse 43, in the cities around it. In Luke's account here, as well as in the Gospel of Matthew, one of the incidents that immediately follows is the cleansing of the leper that says, Lord, if thou will, you can clean me. And he said, I will, be thou clean. That's found in Matthew chapter 8, and again, it's a great distance from Matthew chapter 4, but in between is the Sermon on the Mount, which is in part recorded for us in Luke's account, but the Gospel of Luke seems to be at least out of chronological order. But again, so there are some similarities in the two incidents, but it appears to me that it's just simply because they were close in proximity, close in time. Not a lot of time had elapsed between the two incidents. We do find here in Luke's account that it says they followed the Lord Jesus Christ permanently. Verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now it could be argued that the Gospel of Luke is simply stressing different events during the same interaction between Jesus and these disciples, and I'm not going to stand and argue with anybody if that's what they believe. But again, it does appear to me that there are enough differences between the two incidents to suggest that they're not identical, but that Jesus first interacted with these disciples in John chapter 1, immediately the day after his baptism. Later on, he's to interact with them according to the Gospel of Matthew and come to them and command them to follow him, and they do follow him. But yet their journey seems to be short-lived, and they go back to fishing, and then Jesus comes to them a third time, beckons them to follow him, and this time they follow permanently. If these are different incidents, there's one incident, the first, that suggests that they follow Jesus due to curiosity. The second suggests that they follow Jesus out of duty, that is, because he commanded them to follow him. And immediately they obeyed. But it appears to me that in this third incident in the Gospel of Luke, that these men were no longer following Jesus due to curiosity or just due to duty. But now they were following the Lord Jesus Christ because they were consecrated, because they were committed, because Simon Peter had seen something that impressed him so that he left his business, he left his nets, and he left his boats, and he began to follow Jesus. The application of all this, I think, is simple. Why is it that we follow Jesus? I mean, you're all here in church this morning, so you obviously have a desire to follow the Lord. But why do we follow the Lord? Are we simply curious? Curious as to what he will do? Are we at church wondering what's going to happen? Is that what motivates us to serve the Lord? Do we serve him simply because he's commanded us to do so? That's not entirely a bad thing, but I do think that we ought to follow Jesus for more than that. Many people follow the Lord out of duty, and I guess when your heart's not in it, you should still follow him and obey him out of duty. But you know, there ought to come a point in our lives where we no longer follow the Lord just out of duty, but we follow him and we live for him because we have committed our lives to the one that gave his life for us. And you know, when Simon Peter saw this miraculous incident that's recorded for us in Luke chapter 5, he said, "Depart from me," this is in verse number 8, "for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And again, this seems like a strange response, but the reason Peter condemns himself here is because of his own lack of faith. Because in the context, what did Jesus say? He said, "Let down your nets for a draught." That's what he said in verse number 4, and this is where the little details become very important, because Jesus told him, "Let down your nets. Let them all down, because I'm about to help you catch a mess load of fish. And you're going to need all your nets." But Simon Peter, he was a professional fisherman, and everything that he knew about the Lord Jesus Christ suggested he was a carpenter, not a fisherman. What does he know about fishing? This is the wrong time of day, the wrong time of year. We've been out fishing all day, and we haven't caught a thing except for a couple of bluegill, and there's not any fish. But he says, "All right, Lord, if you want me to, I'll let down the net." He left off the little S there, you'll notice. And so what did they do? They let down a net instead of the nets, And what happened as a result? That thing overflowed and the net began to break. And Simon Peter says again to the Lord, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I didn't believe you. I didn't trust you. I didn't listen to you. I didn't obey you. And now I see that I should have." And I don't know, but what Simon Peter saw was enough for him to give his life wholeheartedly to the Savior. And that's what each one of us need to do. We need to get past following the Lord Jesus Christ simply due to curiosity. We need to get past serving the Lord Jesus Christ simply due to His commands, due to duty, and we need to serve Him because we are committed, we are consecrated 100% to Him. And if we'll do that, I believe that we'll follow Him to the ends of earth, the earth, and for the end of time, and to the end of time. Here, Jesus calls men to follow Him. And He calls every one of us to do the same. Will you follow Him? And if you will follow Him, make sure you ask yourself the question, why? Why am I following Him? Because that will greatly determine how long and to what degree you're willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the many things that we can learn from it. And God, I pray that You'll help the things that I've said this morning to make sense to us all. Lord, it certainly does appear to me that the Gospels give to us three different incidents, the three different passages that we've looked at. Lord, the disciples, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they appear to follow You initially due to curiosity, wondering where You dwelt. And then, Lord, You come to them and beckon them to follow You, and they follow. And yet, it's only in the Gospel of Luke where we see that when they docked their boats, they forsook all, including family, friends, and occupations, and follows You permanently. Lord, I pray that each and every one that's present here this morning would desire to follow You, and that they would follow You not just due to curiosity, wondering what You'll do, wondering where You'll take them, not due to just because You command us, but God, that they would follow You because of the great love that You have demonstrated to us. May we, Lord, may we all seek to follow You for the right reasons, and may You help us to follow You until our dying day or the day that You call us to be with You in heaven. So God, use the message. Help us to be consecrated Christians, committed to becoming fishers of men. And Lord, help us not to lose sight of that, though I didn't focus on that this morning. But You desire these men to follow You, and You said You would make them fishers of men. God, make us fishers of men. Help us to exhibit compassion to the lost world around us. And help us to be effective in our witness to others. May the Spirit of God control us. May we be clothed in humility as we witness to others of Jesus Christ. And God, may You do a great work with us, just as You did with the disciples. So God, take the message this morning. Use it for Thy glory. Use it to help and benefit Your people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn 387. Have Thine Own Way. 387.